Welcome back to another podcast. I'm Bob Furring. And as most of you know, we recently had an election here. Even for those who weren't paying close attention, you'll know that the yard signs are down. And we have a new president of the board. His name is Kim Fuller, and he is my guest today. Kim, welcome to the pod.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Great. Well, first thing first, I'd like you to tell us about where you're from and your background prior to coming here.
I grew up in the Bay Area, Oakland, California, and when I was 28 years old, myself and a friend, who later became my business partner, looked at buying a small private tennis club in Livermore, California. The club was losing money, been on the market for about a year, nobody wanted it, so that was our chance to get into the deal. And so when I was 29, we bought a little club, got private investors, and it was a small club, a little building, one pool, and some tennis courts. And then over the next 34 years, we put in 51,000 square feet of space, four more pools, indoor gym, racquetball. So a complex very similar to this, except I don't have golf. Mm-hmm. I still work. I fly up once a month for about 3 to 4 days. And then the rest of the work I do is still coordinating from here, phone, computers, as far as managing my facility.
So how many employees do you have up there?
Started with two. We have 150 today.
150. So this is a major business. Is your partner still involved?
My partner's still involved. We're a small company. Shadow Hills is about a $10 million a year business as far as it. Mine's $3 million. So we're smaller. We're about one-third the size as far as dollar volume. We have some aspects that are more complex. So, for instance, my swim program is much more complex. I have year-round team. I have summer teams. I have 300, 400 kids all doing swim team programs, water aerobics programs, and aerobics programs is maybe a little more complex. Weight rooms are bigger. Indoor gymnasium, basketball, volleyball with camps and things. Lifestyle events here are much more elaborate and complex than what I do. Mm-hmm. So a little different variety, that kind of thing.
So a Bay Area guy who has a business in Livermore winds up with a home in the Coachella Valley. How did that happen?
Well, a couple years ago, 2-3 years ago, because I've been here 2 years, so maybe a little more, 3 years ago, my wife's parents and my parents had since all passed away. Two of our kids were on the East Coast. Only one was left on the West Coast. And we could pretty much decide what to do. And so we were looking at alternatives rather than the San Francisco Bay Area, for which partly it's in the wintertime a little cold for me. I prefer hot weather. I'm here year-round now. I like 110-degree weather. It's okay with me. So we were looking around, and Arizona's too far away. I still need to access my business if I need to on a moment's notice. Mm-hmm. And the Coachella Valley became a destination point that kind of fit what we could do. Mm-hmm. So we started looking in Coachella Valley.
And did you consider any other developments other than here?
We probably looked at 12 to 15 similar type complexes. I'm in this business, so how it appears and financially what goes on, I investigate. Reserves, I investigate. And in investigating all the different aspects, we like Shadow Hills the most. And I got to tell you, one of the things right out of the box, we drove into Shadow Hills to look at the sales office, and we're driving down the roads, and people are waving to us. And I turned to my wife, and I said, "Do you know these people?" And she goes, "Not a one." And I go, "This is the friendliest place I have ever been to." None of the other complexes were like that. Mm-hmm. Not even close. So that whole atmosphere intrigued me. Then after reviewing their financials, because I did pull the reserve studies and I pulled their financials, I did feel they were financially the healthiest complex of everybody. And the financials was in, the reserves was in the best condition of the rest. So that's why we decided on Shadow Hills.
Okay. And when did you buy here?
February 2015.
I see. Okay. And most people buy in a retirement home intending to retire. And so not only did you not retire, you've decided to take on a whole new job being on the board. Please tell us why.
I've been involved in the private club service business my whole life, for 40 years. That's what I do. And I like it a lot. So I'm not retired. I still work. I probably have the greatest part-time job in the world in dealing with the people. I do think, I mean, we are in a self-governed little society here. And I do philosophically believe everybody should contribute. I have a unique skill set. It's not necessarily normal to most people to run a complex like this with its idiosyncrasies. So in looking at how to contribute, the Finance Advisory Committee, although I applied for it and they turned me down with good reason, I'm not necessarily a processor. I'm not a financial processor. I'm the guy that takes the information and then uses that to make a projection for the future or a forecast to decide what to do and how is that going to benefit us short and long term. So over those 35 years, that skill set lended itself to possibly be a board member because what the board does is what I do every day for a living and have been doing that for 40 years. It was just an easier match. I do think when people volunteer, you try to find those things that, one, you like to do, and or two, that you think can offer, have a benefit for. So I like doing it. And I'd like to think as a result of being on the board, certain aspects of it are a little easier for me because that's what I do mm-hmm. all the time. Mm-hmm. So if somebody was to ask me, well, about slurry coning of roads, I might know that. About redoing pools, I might know that. Fitness equipment, I just know that. So I don't have to research and learn that anymore. It's just a little different dynamic because the five people on the board is the decision maker. Naturally, mm-hmm. my business, I'm the decision maker. Mm-hmm. So we have to respect each little point of view. So in the end, I like meeting the people. I like having the meetings with the people. Because I only work part-time, I had enough time to still do the board operation. Mm-hmm. And I feel I should contribute a little time.
Yeah. Well, that's great. And I can relate to what you're saying because that's why I'm doing these podcasts. What are the questions that you get asked in your life around here that you think a broader audience would like to know the answers to?
Well, you just asked one. Probably the most popular is, why did I do this? Why am I on the board? That was probably the most popular one. The other big one through the entire campaign was the financials about, different financial aspects about the HOA. Why for the increase in dues? Where do we see it going? And I tried to say, everybody, take a moment, be patient, but look at it in the big picture. Still at $255 a month, if you're one of the lowest priced HOAs in the valley, it's hard to make the argument that we're overspending when everybody else is spending more money than we are. So first look in the marketplace, and we're very, very competitive for what we have to offer. Then what you do is just, in looking at that, keep in mind, this is a pretty phenomenal place to live. For what we pay, for what we get, this is a pretty nice place to live. So most of the discussion is trying to maintain that level, maintain the quality of life. And if we do that, we maintain the appearance and maintain facilities and keep financially healthy, that's what ultimately will keep your home value high. You can't have depreciated stuff. You can't have, when you drive through, the plants not taken care of. You can't have the carpet ripped. You can't have pools that don't look pristine. And if we take care of that, we'll do quite well. And right now, the history of this complex, it's been well managed. because for $255, it's hard to complain about what they offer.
It's extraordinary.
Yeah. Right? So that's financially, that was probably one of the bigger questions. And then the other one that came up all the time is the fine structure. You know, many people aren't happy with getting a $200 ticket. I wouldn't be happy with getting a $200 ticket, so I simply make sure I stop and I don't speed because I don't want a $200 ticket. So there is a very simple answer. That doesn't mean I don't believe personally that there's an amount that could be lower that still achieves the goal. I am willing to look at that investigation. So I hope in the future the board will reevaluate by having the safety committee reevaluate. Does it need to be 200? Maybe it's only 100 and we get the same result. I don't want the money. I just want people to stop. I want people to slow down. And if we can do that for less money, they get my support. Mm-hmm. That was probably the other biggest question I got.
Let me see. Yeah, and I know that there have been a lot of enhancements made to the finance committee and to other things. Could you talk about that a little bit?
Now, Shadow Hills, in reviewing their financials for the last 4 years and going through the election process, in the last year, there's been some tremendous changes. And we are very, very lucky. The volunteers on that board are highly qualified, highly professional, and understand what's going on. But understand, too, we've had a transition where Western Golf left. Troon's come on board. So we got another set of books that has to be combined in order to ultimately get to a financial statement that's compiled into one statement that everybody can understand. So now we're through with that little process. And then the reporting of the financials in previous years, if you go back 4 years, the audit report did not flow with the financial report. So it was very difficult to understand operationally what was happening month to month compared to what the year-end audit said. Now they've restructured that so the one flows to the other, so it'll be much more easy to understand what's going on, much simpler to understand. So I think in the next 60 to 90 days, it'll get better because they're finalizing all that. And with the hiring of the new controller, who can then, we have an on-site controller, in order to then bring that information quicker, this will just be a benefit to the HOA to make sure we're financially on track.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And my final question is, looking ahead, I mean, you come from a unique background of having built up a health club, healthy lifestyle business. Do you see anything, you know, enhanced the bocce ball courts and board approved expansion of the pickleball courts a couple of years ago. Do you see anything ahead that any changes that might benefit our members in the future?
Well, you know, interesting. In our business, the concept is that you might not necessarily grow, but you're always changing. The motivations, the expectations, the wants and desires of the members can go through transitions and changes. I can't tell you for sure. I mean, maybe I don't believe, I'm a tennis player. Maybe tennis goes away and nobody plays tennis anymore. Well, then we should reevaluate what happens mm-hmm. with that space. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you take a lot of volunteers who all live here and you put them in a room and talk about what they think would be beneficial, you'd be surprised at what you can find out. Mm-hmm. And then you take that information in order to implement what's possible financially and what's in everybody's best interest. Mm-hmm. So I have found members are pretty unique.
And they're not bashful.
Fortune tellers.
Telling you about
and they that. Tell you. And I look at members who make suggestions. I mean, some people will say members will complain about things. I go, look, a complaining member is an asset. That person is giving you the information of how to steer that ship for the future. I had a person, to give you an example, I had a person come up to me and said they'd like to talk at board meetings, but they don't like waiting to the end to do it. And their suggestion was, why not have two forums? And have one at the beginning where you just talk for 1 minute so the people who just want to say something and leave may. I couldn't argue with the fact that was a good idea. So we're going to try it. Now, the worst that's going to happen is it doesn't work. And then we'll move it back. Mm-hmm. But I'm a person who doesn't mind trying it, and if it fails, okay, we'll fix it.
Great.
But we do is we listen and find out, and then we see what the future might hold. There's lots of changes that can be made that might improve the facilities. Most of it will be the members will tell us.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you so much for coming in and spending some time. And as always, if you have questions or comments, please get a hold of me. But Kim, thank you for coming in, and hopefully we'll have another one of these in a year or so. But I've enjoyed the time you've taken.
Thank you very much. Invite me back anytime you want. Hopefully before a year's up.
Okay, and so until next time, thank you for listening. Bye-bye.